Hello there, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. I'm your host, Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We got a great show for you today. On the show is Miss Ellen Allen. She's going to be talking about how to prepare for someone to come home from incarceration that has had addiction issues. The subject is codependency. And we'll be with Ellen Allen right after this on The Journey of Hope. Sure do love to hear from you. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line.
Thumb away from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights ain't where I belong. From a phone booth in the rain, I called to tell her I've had a change of dreams, I'm coming home. But tears filled my eyes when I found out she was gone. Smoky Mountain rain keeps on falling. I keep on calling her name. Smoky Mountain rain.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I have on the phone with me today my special guest, Ellen Allen. Ellen's written a book called If You Can Change the Words, You Can Change the Meaning. Ellen, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. And yourself?
Welcome to the Journey of Hope. We're so glad to have you here.
Okay.
Now listen, I got a letter from someone who represents you a while back, and they said that you'd written an excellent book on the issues of codependency. Tell us what codependency is.
Codependency is when you have allowed yourself to want to take over and control that situations that are beyond your control. And instead of you being able to control them, you wind up being more of, I guess we'd say, an enabler. Mm-hmm. You wind up falling prey to whatever the person is doing that you were trying to get them out of, and you wind up enabling or being a part of them continuing in that behavior because you begin to pacify the inappropriate behavior.
And this is probably very apropos to the loved ones of ex-offenders who are listening to the program today. And we have a lot of people that listen, Ellen, that have a loved one that's getting ready to come home or is on parole. And what I'd like for you to address for us now is how can someone prepare, knowing that the ex-offender that's coming home had serious issues with addictions? It was so serious that it took their freedom from them. How can a loved one prepare to bring someone that has had those kinds of problems into their home again?
Well, first of all, let me say, I think that there's no right or wrong way to handle it. Uh-huh. But with you being familiar with the person that you're in love with or the person that you have this strong connection and affection for, you have to be determined to set limits within yourself, knowing what you are going to be able to tolerate, what you're not going to be able to tolerate, and stand by your limits. Stand by the rules that you set. I remember coming up, my mother would tell me, that's tough love.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it will boil down to, is just being firm in your commitment to that person and the final commitment that you make to yourself.
Give us a
to
good,
stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Give us a good definition of an enabler. Tell us what that is.
An enabler is a person that falls prey to, like I say, inappropriate behaviors, although they know the behaviors are toxic, for fear of loss of life, for fear of isolation, for fear of rejection. They begin to accept everything on the addict's terms or everything on the offender's terms. And so here we are, we're in this vicious cycle, and we know it's toxic, we know it's unhealthy, but because we think that we're going to contribute to all of the wrong things, we don't want to isolate them and push them away. We don't want them to feel rejected by us because they're already rejected by the world. Mm-hmm. And it can even lead to death. You don't want to send your loved one back out the door, and then a few hours later, you'll get a knock to say that person was killed or harmed in some way. So that's basically what I have come to the conclusion that an enabler is that out of our fear of being rejected or playing part in the person isolating themselves or even the death of our loved ones, we continue to feed into their frenzy on their terms.
Mm-hmm. And so now I'm getting into some tough areas here, but I'm assuming there's a point where no matter how much you love someone, you've got to cut that enabling off, and give us some ideas on how to go about doing such a thing.
Well, basically, that's what my book is about. It's
right.
About if you change the words, you change the meaning. So your yes has to be yes, your no has to be no. And the subtitle is An Addict Struggle to Let Go. So actually, I'm not talking about the offender. I'm not talking about the drug addict. I'm talking about an addict struggle to let go, because now here we are codependent. We become addicted to the personality and the behaviors that we so hard or so much try to fight against. So, like I said, the first thing that I would think is to set limits. And I mean, if you have to write it down, get you a piece of paper, write it down, set your limits. You know, meditate on what you're going to do. Focus on your goal and your plan to be resilient.
Okay. Ellen, I hate to interrupt you, but what would be some examples of limits that you would set? A spouse that... Okay, you understand where I'm going with this. A spouse that's coming home. Are we talking about when they can leave the house? I mean, how specific should we get on something like that?
Well, for instance, you have a spouse come in and, you know, you set rules that, you know, you need to be inside and respect the household 10 o'clock at night. And here they're knocking on the door 11:30 and they're sorry and they're begging and they're pleading. The first thing that instinctively we want to do is let them in. But we have to be firm in that you can't come in. You know, I set this house rule, you agreed to it, and so now it's 11:30. You're not welcome in this space. Mm-hmm. You're not welcome in my life at this time. Or say that, you know, they go and, you know, they come home and you squander all their money. And, you know things have to be paid. You know things have to be done. And you just pat them on the back and say, oh, well, don't worry about it. I'll cover it this time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then you begin to cover that mistake. So those are two big things, really, that might not seem huge, but they are. You have to start with those things in order to make everything else work.
I have seen.
And the same goes for children.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about.
For mothers.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. What you're talking about would also work. And a lot of times, people don't come home to a spouse. They come home as an adult. to their parents.
Right.
And my experience has been in people that I know that when an adult comes home from prison and lives with their parents, that they have a tendency to get away with more than if it was a spouse coming home. And so should a parent be stricter with the adult child that's coming home than the spouse? What are there some differences there? What can you tell me about that?
Well, there are differences, basically, because that love and that compassion and the depth of emotion that a parent has for a child is seemingly different from that of a spouse. Uh-huh. You know, this is a person that you've raised and given birth to in life and you've nurtured. And so you have to be even firmer, I think, with your children, mm-hmm. because they know that you will go to the ends of the earth for them. And so since they know that, then the first thing they know is, oh, assume is that the mom's going to be okay. You know, I can come in 30 minutes after she asks me to be in. But you have to say, you know, my rules are my rules. They still apply. You know, as I was brought up, my grandfather said, I don't care whether you're 9, I'm 99, whatever it is, my rule is my rule. And you have to stick by it. And it's hard. I'll be the first to admit that it's hard for parents. That's the those heartstrings that I talk about in my book.
The reason, Ellen, I bring it up is, now, I'm not an expert in this. I can just tell you from situations that I know that when adult children come home from prison, it seems to me that their recidivism rate, particularly people that had drug issues, seems to be a little bit higher than a spouse coming home. And that's why I bring it up. And so my next question would be, where does a parent get the strength to stop the enabling and to not be a doormat, you know, and to say, here's the line in the sand? Where do they get the strength to kick the child out on the street?
That strength is I would say, a spiritual strength. It has to be something greater than yourself. Because, as you say, as parents ourselves, we're going to just keep on. But I believe in the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. I believe there's nothing greater than being able to, you know, help yourself when you can't help anyone else. And so you have to find that strength somewhere deep within. And I can honestly say, if a parent is never willing to face the truth about what's going on, mm-hmm. and the part that they're playing in their child's life, the part they're playing towards a failure, mm-hmm. consistent failure in their child's life, then that is never going to come to light for that parent. And that mm-hmm. child will never come to light for them. And so then they will keep in and out of the penal institutes, in and out of mental institutes. And it's just this vicious cycle that'll keep going on and on and on. So if you aren't able to think about your spiritual health, your mental health, and set your limits, then you both are doomed. And that's the sad reality of life. You both are doomed if you're not able, as a parent, as the adult, as the one that's not the offender.
We're getting into some serious stuff here with Ellen Allen today. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I got some more tough questions for Ellen. We'll be right back after this. This is Rodney Mathers for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. You like to play music? Doesn't matter what instrument you play. I know of a product out there that'll help you organize your playing in such a way that you can play a whole bunch of different songs in a whole bunch of different keys. How about all the keys? It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And the way you find it is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. You click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart ebook, and you're going to get a free sample. Now, what this does is it teaches you something called the Nashville numbering system, and it really improves your playing. So all you aspiring musicians out there, go to angiesbanjo.com, click on the ebook link for the Jam Buddy chord chart. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. We're chatting with Ellen Allen today. She's written a book called If You Change the Words, You Change the Meaning. And she's talking about codependency. And I've been kind of hitting her up with some with some difficult questions on how someone can prepare to receive someone back into their life and into their home, especially that has spun so far out of control that they've ended up incarcerated, whether it be with drugs or any other kind of addiction. And Ellen, tell me a little bit about how you came to write your book. It's an excellent book. How did you come to write this?
I came to write my book based on life experiences. And unfortunately, I married someone who had a problem with addiction. And my ability to nurture and to love and to protect became challenged in the relationship because I didn't know what was going on. There were so many things that were coming at me, and I really couldn't pinpoint what the problem was. And so then I was led through all of these mind-blowing situations that made me sink and sit back and have to realize that something needed to be done. So what I began to do was write, because I wanted to scream so many days and yell and, mm-hmm. and just kind of say, okay, I throw my hands up at this. So instead of doing that, I began to write because I knew there was a strength in me that superseded the problem that I was facing. And so you have to realize that at some point you have to let go, and you have to, you know, get in touch with your spiritual side, especially if there's something that you believe in and that's something you were connected to, and things were working a little bit better during that time. So you have to kind of refocus and reconnect. And also, there were things where I've seen people in my community struggling with the same issues. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to people, and they would pour their hearts out, and they would just be in so much disarray over what was going on in their lives. And the worst part about it was that I realized that the lies and the secrets and the shame that followed codependency, that followed addiction, would never get better if someone didn't have a voice. And so I put my voice into my book.
Well, codependency is probably more common than people would think, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it's very common. And a lot of people wouldn't readily admit mm-hmm. that they're codependent. Everybody would shrug their shoulders and keep moving and say, oh, it's not me. That's mm-hmm. not me. Couldn't possibly be me. And you be the main culprit in the person's, life that's, you know, kind of causing a problem. And it's not that it's bad, because you don't know that you are, you know, at that point where you just can't let go yourself. Mm-hmm. And so once you realize that, yeah, you know, I am codependent. I am the reason that my emotions and my life is so messed up right now. Then you can begin to heal yourself. But as long as you don't know you're codependent, you would never be able to get to the point where you can open up and you can say, I'm breathing again.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about people that get into marriages with someone who have addictions, that's not, you know, I've kind of focused on drug addictions, but it could be anything, couldn't it?
Anything.
Right. And, I mean, we're going to, that would be the spectrum from alcoholism to spending too much money to, you know, sexual addictions. Anything could fall into that category, correct?
Right. Anything can fall into that category. Now, a little bit in my book, I talked about you know, I kind of hinted at like sex addiction and stuff, because mm-hmm. codependent people normally have some sort of addiction themselves, whether, like you say, whether it be control issues, whether it be sex, drugs, you know, and the like. Mm-hmm. We all wind up having some form of addiction. Some people have the food addictions and sugar, and it's so, I mean, it's just not this one addiction. Every addiction in the world is ugly.
Isn't that the truth? And they're so powerful that, and I see this many, many times, that people that I knew that I was in prison with have gone back. And it is absolutely amazing what a drug or what alcohol or other kind of addictions, how powerful they are in controlling people's lives. And I'm sure that you're aware of that as well. Tell us a little bit about where we could get your book, Ellen.
Well, my book can be purchased online. I have a site. It's www.authorellenallen.webs.com. It can also be purchased on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, that kind of third-party sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always be reached by phone if someone just want to talk about the book, and or they've read the book and they have some kind of encouragement they want to share with me, or vice versa, I can share with them. My phone number is 504-329-5585.
Excellent.
And those are the ways you can contact me to get a copy of the book. It's very interesting. I think it's an amazing book, because I kind of, when I finished the book, I kind of shocked myself. I was like, oh, yeah, this is really a good book. And I'm not saying it just because I wrote it, but I'm saying it because I know that it can help.
Well, congratulations.
People to realize that they're not alone. And it's okay to say that I'm codependent. I have issues that I need to deal with.
So you found it therapeutic writing the book?
Very therapeutic writing the book.
That's great.
And I tell everyone, I've gone to speaking engagements, and I tell people, get a book, write it down. If you don't like to write it down, get your voice recorder and say it. But let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your body. Let it come out of your spirit, so that you can be out, released from bondage, and that you can heal.
I think that is excellent advice.
The healing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent
advice.
There's
a healing that needs to take place in a codependent's life, whether we want to believe it or not, but there's a healing that we must go through in order to be able to share our hope and our dreams and our beliefs in the future.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, just very quickly, I'm going to give you the last word here. You're speaking to the parents of offenders who are about to come home, or maybe have just arrived home. You're speaking to the spouses who have taken their loved one back into the house. Speak to them and give them some advice on this issue of codependency and this issue of enabling, all of it. Just sum it all up for us.
To sum up, your love and your help and your support for another person going through things in their life, I would say that addiction is not controllable by love alone.
Wow.
And that in the process of you receiving and being blessed, you have to be able to give the best of yourself, the healthy part of yourself, to your loved one. And that being said, I believe the key is continued support and stamina, and to set those limits and to stand by them.
Ellen Allen, the book is called If You Change the Words, You Change the Meaning. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today, Ellen.
Sure, anytime.
My name is Rodney Mathers. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this. Another the show Come and Gone. I want to thank my special guest today, Miss Ellen Allen, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.